Harley met his fate, little old bar right there off the interstate. He drew his gun a bit too late this time. The room exploded, Harley fell. Shotgun blew him all to hell. And the other guy died as well. Yeah, yeah.
How are we supposed to get sponsors when you're dropping the
Exactly.
Hi, this is Danny Fisher. You are on tuning in, dialing in to yet another episode of Kaleidoscope. This is a segment from the Mile High Show with Matt Santos. However, I am your host for the show. I am Danny Fisher, artist extraordinaire, musician, actor, writer. I have kids. I have dogs. I do dishes. I clean horse stalls. You know, the typical stuff. For those of you who have heard the Mile High Show before, Matt sits down with artists and musicians and community members and speaks to them and finds out about their life. For this show here, not only do we sit here with artists and musicians and winemakers and mental health workers and chefs, and who knows, I may have an accountant one day, who knows, but they get to plug themselves. You get to hear who are the people in the neighborhood, not the actual song, but who the people are in your neighborhood, and talk to them about their lives, and then they can tell you where you find them. But the purpose, the goal, is for you to live in your creative life and celebrate it. Some of you already have this. Some of you already pick up guitars, and some of you may really be big swimmers, and that's your thing, or you sew clothing, whatever your thing is. You're already out there doing your gift. Some of you are wanting to learn how to promote yourself more and actually make money doing it and have some value in what you're doing. You know it's important, but have some value. Some of you need to get off up your butts and find something to do to live in the creative spirit. So that's my main purpose on the show. I'm 41 and I've had a gallery and studio. I've been in a few bands. I've taught a ton of classes for kids. I was really into therapeutic clay. I've done all kinds of stuff, but one of the main points of it is it has made my life amazing, and I want to share that with you, and I want you to find that same kind of light. So today we are interviewing one of my good buddies, one of my good Facebook friends and human being friends. We see each other here and again. It's been super friendly to me since I moved home. It's just been a blessing to have this kind of, like I said on the last show, good people meet because of good. And thank you, Paul T. Morris, for meeting me and friending me. And I've been to some of his Taco Tuesday events where he plays music at, what was that place called?
Quailwood.
We've went there and heard him play and got $2 tacos and some beer. He came out to Tsunami on the Square and performed for us. He's got some great stories. He's got some great insight on life. And we're here with you. Where can we find you again? Go ahead, give us all your spiels. He's also a radio host.
Good evening, Danny. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Super.
I've been in Prescott about 5 years now. I work at KYCA Radio. I'm the morning newsman. 1490 AM on your dial for kyca.info. But I've been a musician for 50 years. I've played with Willie Nelson, Ricky Nelson, Greg Allman, on down the line.
Glenn Campbell.
I also played Taco Tuesdays at Quailwood Golf Course. I've been a songwriter for most of my adult life. I guess I started writing songs in high school, and I had some good success. I toured with a lot of stars and had some stars do some songs of mine. Recently, I did a movie called Ride the Thunder, which was filmed partially here in Prescott.
Nice.
And I had a couple of songs in that movie, which I hope to play for Les here in a little bit.
Ride the Thunder. Seek that out. I'm sure it's not out yet. It's going to take a while.
No, it's out. It's been out.
Okay.
It's actually up for an Academy Award, believe it or not. A couple of them.
Yeah.
But my day job now is morning news guy at KYCA, so I've become involved with Prescott politics and Prescott movers and shakers and business people. And it's been a good introduction to this wonderful area.
My husband listens to you every morning on the way to work.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
I'm not up that early. I try to like hide for another 2 hours. It doesn't always work out, but I try.
Well, it's a known fact that I'm the only hippie in a very conservative radio
station.
Right,
and kudos to you for that. You must really have some smooth moves to be able to make that work.
I have to balance it. I have to balance it at times. But it's a Republican area, and they are solid backers of the radio station, and they pay my paycheck, so I try to play the game with them.
Right, and we need to walk between the dead and the living in this world.
Absolutely.
We can't just be, I'm just going to hang out with all the cool artists and the hippies.
Absolutely.
We need to be, if we're really going to heal this world, we're going to walk through all people.
Well, let me explain something to the folks who are listening that play guitar, that dream of stardom or dream of entertaining people. That's the secret. It's entertaining people. I'm 63 years old. I've been playing guitar for 50 years. I've been playing in bars since I was 14 or 15. And let me give you a couple of tips real quick, musicians. People don't know what they like, but they like what they know. People don't know what they like, but they like what they know. People say, well, what are you going to play, or what will you play, or can you play this, can you play that? And some musicians get a big head about stuff. Oh, I'm not playing Bobby McGee, that's old, that's this, or I'm not playing this. People don't know what they like, but they like what they know. You say to somebody, what would you like to hear? Oh, I don't know, I don't know. And then you start to play The Gambler or something, and they go, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
So play to your audience. They're there to see you. They're not there to worship you. You're there to entertain them. You're not there to draw disciples.
Right? No way better said. We're humble folks, us musicians.
Well,
we're quirky.
Try to be. It's hard to be humble when you're on stage and people are sitting and watching you and admiring what you do, but there's always somebody better coming along behind you.
Right.
So don't think you own it. You're just part of the circle.
Right, and the balance of you have your right brain and your left brain working on two different things, and
absolutely,
you're not going to let it get to you. One of my main goals when I moved across the country and came home, because I was starting to get a lot of business in Philly and those type of areas, and my art was going in films, my main goal when I came home, because after living in Pennsylvania for 6 years, new marriage, had a gallery, we were super busy and we didn't take time for ourselves. My main goal when I moved home and I asked for it was that I could live in the limelight and do my good, but balance it and not freak out on my kids and my family. That took a lot of focus.
Well, and I made a lot of mistakes. I let my ego run my career for a while, and I let my sex drive run my career for a while, and I let my drug drive run my career for a while.
And I bet you wrote a lot of good songs about it, too.
I wrote a lot of good songs about it. But mainly, I've been very, very grateful to play music, play guitar, meet people, move people. One of the greatest compliments I ever had was a couple came up to me in Flagstaff when I was playing at the museum one night. And they said, you may not remember us. We were here about 3 years ago when your Harley Davidson record came out. I said, yeah. They said, well, you gave us a record that night. I said, yeah. They said, well, that was our first date. We now have two kids. We have your record on our dining room wall because we thought you helped us come together.
Wonderful.
And that was one of the most unbelievable compliments I'd ever heard in my life. Not, oh, you're great or this. It was you helped us come together with your song. And that meant more to me than $1 million.
That's awesome. Was that an original song?
It was.
Do you feel like playing, or you want to talk a little more?
Sure, I'd be glad to.
Let's mix it up a little and do what you want. This guy's got it covered.
I want to play a song for Les. My buddy Les and I have been talking for the last few minutes. And Les did a tour over in the Middle East. And this is a song I wrote about a couple of gentlemen I met on a cruise ship. They were from New York. Every night I say a little prayer for the ones that serve over there, for the ones that really don't care what your politics are. They believe in the stripes, they believe in the stars. Well, Dan and Mike were from New York. They went to battle in Baghdad. They went overseas with their best friend Chris, and Chris didn't come back. Well, life goes on, the war hadn't stopped. Danny is a fireman and Michael is a cop. No matter where they go, no matter where they are, they see Chris and the stripes and Chris and the stars. So every night I say a little prayer for the ones that serve over there, for the ones that really don't care what your politics are. They believe in the stripes, they believe in the stars. Oh, and they carry the scars. Well, the land where we live, it really is great. The land where we fight's a long way away. But we call God, they call Allah. And I'm not really sure what the differences are. But I believe in the stripes, I believe in the stars. So every night I say a little prayer for the ones that serve over there. For the ones that really don't care what your politics are. They believe in the stripes, they believe in the stars.
Whew.
We ask a lot of our young men and our young women. And that's what those songs are about. I've written a couple songs about the soldiers in America. And I believe in them. Whether I believe in the politics behind their efforts, it makes no difference. I believe in young men and women that donate their lives and their times to this country. And we should all support them in whatever way we can.
Thank you. That was amazing. Cheers.
Cheers.
We're sitting here today at the Raven Cafe on Cortez Street. They've got great beer. They're very supportive of the arts. My husband and I had an art show here, and Spencer Jordan Palmer, which is another artist, was here earlier. We had a show here a few months ago, so thank the Raven Cafe for allowing us to perform and hog up their corners. Earlier, we heard Parker Smith, another great musician, and if you go right across the street, you'll see Granite Mountain Brewing, and that's where you can find me. I'm the arts coordinator there, Danny Fisher. So we talked about the balance between things.
Let's talk about Zillion Opal.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Zillion Opal? Zillion Opal, Pennsylvania?
No.
Zillion Opal, Pennsylvania is 28 miles north of Pittsburgh. There's a Lutheran children's home there, and I spent 7 years there. And I don't tell people I'm from Pennsylvania, because I was born in Cincinnati. They threw me out after 3 days. I never went back. But my mom was having a hard time in the 50s, and she put me in this orphanage for 7 years. And then I came back. I came to Arizona with her when I was 10. So I've always considered Arizona my home. I'm an Arizona boy through and through. But I'm not too far from you and some of your roots.
In Pennsylvania, I miss the fireflies. I don't miss the weather.
Yeah.
Fireflies were great. Yeah. When we drove across the country, when we moved out there 6 years ago, Chris came into our lives and we went home. But this is really home. But it took me 6 years.
I wonder why we couldn't transfer fireflies out here and start a colony.
You know, I heard there's something in Verde. No, I poop you not. There's something in Verde, a guy told me that had a farm there. And he said there's something about... Okay, the reason fireflies' butts light up is because they're calling a mate.
Okay.
This guy had me convinced that I'm not sure if he was being silly or not. I think he was completely serious. He was an old engineer that had a cattle farm.
Well, that makes it legitimate.
Who knows, right? I don't know what he does with the cattle. But anyway, so he told me there's another type of firefly in Verde. This is what I was told.
In the Verde Valley?
Yes.
Okay.
Near the river where it's really moist, and their butts light up to mock the mate, like to call in other bugs that
are
attracted to the pheromones, so they light up to call other ones and to eat them instead of make love to them. Think about that.
Isn't that the same thing? Can I play you another song while we're here?
Might as well. I don't know if I'm going to have to edit that.
Harley was David's son. Born living on the run. Lived by the dream and he died by the gun. They said, ride, Harley, ride. Oh, Harley was 33. When a friend introduced him to me. And in his eyes you could see the fire burning free. Looked like a warrior dressed in black, a gun on his side, an eagle on his back, and a look on his face that said, don't tread on me. Harley was David's son, born living on the run.
lived by the dream and he died by the gun. They said, ride, Harley, ride. Oh, Harley rode coast to coast, had a scooter called the Holy Ghost. He found the things he loved the most were just outside the law. He's in and out of those county jails. He did the time, had no money for bail. But you know, Harley never failed to walk tall. Harley was David's son, born living on the run. Lived by the dream and he died by the gun. They said, ride, Harley, ride. Harley met his fate, little old bar right there off the interstate. He drew his gun a bit too late this time. The room exploded, Harley fell. Shotgun blew him all to hell. And the other guy died as well. That's how it goes sometimes. Oh, Harley was David's son, born living on the run. Lived by the dream and he died by the gun. They said, ride, Harley, ride, Harley, ride. Those were my Harley days.
You still got one?
No. I'm too old to hold one up anymore. Can't keep it up on two wheels anymore. They're too heavy.
You can get a Servicar.
I couldn't do that.
They're like tricycle.
I wanted to take a moment while I have time to thank you for befriending me and all the incredible work you do around the Prescott area. Your support of other artists is beyond belief. I don't think I've ever met another artist, musician, actor that was as supportive of other artists, musicians, and actors as you are, Danny.
I appreciate that
sincerely. I've never seen anyone support.
I'll let you guys in on a little secret. One day, Matt does the same thing with this show.
I just met Matt. If I had known him earlier, I might have included him in that
conversation.
Right,
but this is another reason why people come together. They meet because of good. Not even knowing, like unknowingly, just checking out your Taco Tuesdays and coming to see you play and us being friends and your support. And we both really have a weird sense of humor and we're on some things that we tell silly jokes. But one day at 7 in the morning, which is early for me. Actually, see what happens is I stay up all night and then I fall asleep and then that's when I finally fall asleep. But it was worth it. Paul gave me a call just to tell me he loved me. And we're not talking about we're going to run off and go to Hawaii.
I just called you to tell you how impressed I was.
It was so amazing. It did so much for me because we've all need that kind of support.
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm hoping I'm giving to other people, which reminds me, where can we find you again if we want to hear your music? Or are you just on Facebook?
I've been doing Tuesday afternoons at Quailwood Golf Course, but they slowed down over the holidays because of the rain and the snow and da-da-da. Give them a call on Tuesdays and see if I'm going to be there.
Fair enough.
Best thing
Sounds
I can do.
Good.
Right? I get up too early in the morning to do my news show. I'm on in the morning at 6:15.
This guy's on the move all the time.
And so I don't play as much as I used to. But I'm always open. If you guys need somebody, call me.
Right. That's what we're looking for. I'm going to try to find something, I'm sure. So are we playing more songs? Do you want to talk about something? Because I'm kind of letting you run the show on this one.
Oh, you know, it's your show. I'm just here. It's nice to be on the other side of the microphone for a change. That's really different.
How long have you had that same kind of guitar? Like, have you had that for a long time?
This is an Ovation. I always play. I've played Ovation for 45 years. They're a blue-collar guitar. They always work. You can throw your Ovation from one side of the stage to the other, and it'll still work. Every time I open my guitar and take it out of the case, it's in tune.
Nice.
So I've played Ovations till I've played a hole through the wooden board below the strings.
Yeah.
Where there's usually a pick guard. Well, I've played a hole all the way through it. I'm just a firm believer in Ovations as far as a working man guitar. They're always there for you.
Right. And how did you pick up the guitar? Did you get lessons?
No. I played drums. I started playing drums when I was about 13. And I was always told when I was in the back of the band, you know, don't play so loud. You know, I was like a lead drummer rather than a drummer. I was like a lead drummer.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, if I'm going to get up in the front of the band, I better pick another instrument. So I taught myself to play guitar. I started on a ukulele and an old Beatles songbook. And then I borrowed a friend's guitar who was never playing it. And I taught myself some chords and went from there. I remember doing gigs at the skating rink at Tower Plaza in Phoenix, and I went in with my shoes off. I was an old hippie, a young hippie in those days, and I would play the songs with my shoes off. And it just was a hippie thing to do at the time.
Nice.
But from there, I moved on. I started playing clubs. I started playing concerts, and I had a few breaks. But another tip, musicians, knock on every door. Don't expect the world to be the path to your door. If you want to play at the Symphony Hall in Phoenix, do what I did. Go up and bang on the door.
The
go up and knock on the damn door.
Yeah.
If you want to play a dive, play a dive. But if you want to play Madison Square Garden, go knock on the door. That's the only way you're going to get there. And along the way, there's one more tip. Musicians, be nice to the people on your way up. They're the same ones you meet on the way down.
Yeah.
True story.
So confidence-wise, and I'm not talking about overconfidence where, you know, we get goofy in our lives, which, like, I've never done that, I'm sure. But confidence-wise, when would you say you were in the peak of, like, when did you start feeling really confident, or was it just something you did as a survival
thing? When a congressman called me from Michigan and asked me if I would wanted to play, open a concert for Waylon Jennings because of a song I wrote, that told me I was starting to hit some buttons.
Right.
I also wrote some songs for some movies, and I lost one out to Waylon Jennings. The producer called me and said, man, what a great song, but we picked Waylon's because, you know, he's Waylon. But
you're like, you're welcome.
I just kept plugging. And yeah. If I can tell you this story, I did a show with Charlie Pride in Symphony Hall in Phoenix, and I'd just written a song called American Dream, and I played it for him, and the thing was videotaped. About 6 months later, Hank Williams Jr. came out with a song called American Dream. I thought, well, that's interesting, and I listened to it, and I went, and I listened to it. Now, at the end of my song, it goes, of the eyes sing, bum, bum. At the end of his song, it says, hail to the chief, bum, bum. It was so close and so similar, and people were going, well, man, you need to pursue this. No. I knew I was on the right track. If I'm being stolen from, if I'm being stolen from famous people, then I'm on the right track.
Right?
Yeah, so I just let it go.
Yeah, I had a kid. I had a studio and gallery called Clayote in Boyertown, and I had a bunch of employees, and they teach my classes, and they were young girls, like 16 to 18, sometimes a little older. The one worked for me. Her name was Amy. She wound up being a great employee and working with kids and wanting to go to Kutztown University, where I went for art education because it inspired her, which she was always a great employee. I would have never thought this happened, but the person actually took my artwork and put it in their portfolio to get into college. But the problem is I ran the college's gallery, and that's my alma mater,
right?
And I have fans there. So the cool part was, first of all, people telling me was like, oh, they know me that well.
Right,
they saw this and they see an injustice.
Right.
And that was good enough for me. But then when I called the school, I said, I just want her not to use it. I don't want her to lose her career. You know, there's a big difference between 18 and 21. And, you know.
You know, Bob Dylan said something to the point of, if you're going to steal from the best. So there's nothing original. So.
Right. And he had songs that, I know I was watching something that he was listening to his own song, and he had to ask his girlfriend, "Who? That's a great song. Who sang that?" You, Bob. You.
Well, let me play you another song.
Cool.
While I'm sitting here.
Please do. Here.
this is...
No, that's fine.
Okay, be there. This is a song I wrote many, many years ago. They came forward from the fields of Nebraska, and they were drafted off the streets of New Orleans. And they were called from shore to shore like their fathers were before, sent to fight a conflict overseas. From the boy who joined the Navy up in Denver, long before he was old enough to shave, they put away their dreams of the future, and they woke up in the midst of Cameron Bay. So here's to you, forgotten man. Here's to bits of Vietnam. Here's to men who gave a damn and saw their duty through. And when we put our guns away, they came home without parade. Hope it's not too late to say we've not forgotten you. Well, the streets of Saigon soon made him a soldier, while the Agent Orange is burning up the land. In 6 months' time, he was 10 years older and too damn scared to really understand. But one after another crossed the ocean, and the fighting spread through Asia like a storm. When the diplomats in Paris signed a treaty, it was over. The folks back home were tired of the war. So here's to you, forgotten man. Here's to bits of Vietnam. Men and women who gave a damn and saw their duty through. And when we put our guns away, they came home without parade. I hope it's not too late to say we've not forgotten you. But coming back home was not what they expected. This country was divided over pride. Well, the war was out of style, and they found it hard to smile. Never were sure who was on their side. But instead of open arms, we gave them counselors, and we feared them for the things they had seen. But all across this land, the bits of Vietnam still fight that war in their dreams. So here's to you, forgotten man. Here's to bits of Vietnam. Here's to men who gave a damn and saw their duty through. And when we put our guns away, they came home without parades. I hope it's not too late to say we've not forgotten you. Thank you.
Paul T. Morris, everyone.
That song is in the Ride the Thunder movie, and Tommy Cash recorded it. If it had been Johnny Cash, I'd own a couple of bars. But it was his lesser-known brother that recorded it, but nonetheless... I played that song and given that song to thousands and thousands of vets, and it's been my honor to have been lucky enough to have it come to me one night in Flagstaff and write it.
Are you still writing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think we ever stop writing, whether it's literally sitting down and putting pen to paper or whether it's in your mind as you're driving to work one day and you see something that inspires you.
And sometimes you must pull over.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I have little unfinished songs in my phone. Absolutely.
<Yeah. clears
throat> But whatever your drive, whether it's writing, whether it's art, whether it's sculpture, whatever your drive is, don't deny it. Don't be afraid of it. And certainly don't let it take you over. Okay. You have to control it. You have to...
Balance.
You have to balance. Exactly right. You have to balance. And I spent a lot of years out of balance and was lucky that I found a good woman that pulled me back together, and life's good now.
Man enough to admit it, Paul T. Morris.
Yeah.
We're here on the Mile High Radio Show, sitting at the Raven. I'm your host, Danny Fisher. I said radio. I'm not supposed to do that. My segment is actually called Kaleidoscope. If you're familiar with the Mile High Show, Matt Santos is the host. And now we have a couple new segments coming up. This one is to inspire you to be creative and celebrate your life in the creative spirit. My name is Danny Fisher. You can find me on Facebook, DANIFISHER. You can also friend the Mile High Show. You can also friend Mile High Artist League, which is how I coach artists. And if you support and love the Mile High Show, since we all got to eat, we all got to keep the lights on, feel free to click on the Mile High Show website. And if you want to order anything off of Amazon, click on the Amazon link and we get a little bit of credit so that we can keep going.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Paul.
And as she just said, folks, she supports and is part of so many different organizations that support artists, support musicians, and it requires the public to support it as well. Live music requires people in the audience. Otherwise, it's recorded music.
Right. You pay $5 for your coffee and your beer. Why don't you do a little something else, too, and get jiggy? Our website is themilehighshow.com. That's H-I-G-H, milehighshow.com. Thank you.
I'm so pleased that you asked me to come join you tonight. Thank you so much.
So what's next? What's coming up in your life? What's some future endeavors? Where are you right now?
I'm crossing into 2016, along with everybody else, hoping for a better year, hoping for a stronger year, hoping for a more peaceful year. I'm terribly upset about chemtrails, so I won't go into that.
I won't be afraid.
But I'm fighting daily with trying to awaken people about the terrible things they're spraying in our skies, over our heads, into your children. Pay attention, people. These lines in the skies are not contrails. They are full of chemicals that are not good for your children. But that's all I will say about that for now.
You know, I just get sick from the prescription burns, and I know sometimes they burn because they don't want it to burn later. I still don't quite understand, but anytime one of those come,
well,
I'm snotty for like a week.
They're saving the forest, and I understand the prescription burns.
Are they all necessary? I don't know.
Well, they have better information and more knowledge about forest growth and forest care than I do. I don't mind the burns. What I object to are the chemicals being sprayed from planes daily, whiting out our skies. And I could go on forever with that, but you don't need to hear
Right, but us people,
that.
No, but us people have passion, and I'm all for letting a little bit of that side show because we all have our thing. I'm really big into wolves, and why, like, my dad is a huge hunter, and that's his art form. He's more trophy than I'd like to be. He's got buffalo. He's got too many bear. He moved the love seat out of the living room because he's a bachelor, and he's a Grizzly Adams type looking guy.
I just saw a great photo of a hunter that gave President Andrew Johnson a chair in 1866.
Yeah.
And it was a grizzly bear chair. And here's a picture of this guy sitting in the chair playing a violin that he made from a mule skull, his favorite mule skull.
Wow.
And he gave his chair to Andrew Johnson.
I need to see that.
And when you pull a cord on the chair, the bear's head came out from under the chair and snapped. So grizzly bears and hunters and stuff had a position in our forming of this nation. You had to hunt. You had
to
eat. Things have changed, you know, as we know. But I don't hunt. I never did. I've shot guns. I've admired people that have guns. I don't look at guns. I don't deal with them. But there was a time when this nation depended on hunters. And I admire them. They still go out and do it.
I do, and he is really classy. I will tell you, this isn't cursing, so I can say it. He has a scrotum totem, which is a peeled pine pole with all the legs of all the, you know, of animals. It's got a turkey one on the top, and he's got deer ones making a coat rack. But hanging from them is all the testicles of all the animals he killed turned into water containers. And so when you go to Pop-Pop's house, you get a picture by the scrotum totem. But anyways, enough about that. The reason I brought that up.
For those of you that can't see me, I'm joking on this story. It's great.
The reason I brought it up was just, you know, we all have our things. Like, I respect his art, but my big thing is, like, I have wolf dogs, and please don't kill any wolves.
Please don't shoot any wolves, man.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't go on and on about it. I'm proud of him. I like what he does, but please don't kill
any wolves. I did a wonderful interview today with Melanie Underwood, who runs the Lost Pets of Northern Arizona.
Yeah.
And there's another girl that's dedicated. She's found her passion, and it's saving people's pets. And the amount of work and the amount of effort that she puts in is very similar to the amount of work and effort you put into your art and supporting artists. And it's really, really marvelous to see young, strong people promoting their lives in the Prescott area. It's
fabulous. I appreciate it. I think we've just had enough of any other way, and it's time for us all to live in the light.
Amen.
Have you been to the Bistro yet, the Bistro on McCormick Street?
Nope.
There's a Bistro on McCormick Street. They have an open mic poetry night, mostly poetry, but original songs are acceptable. It's second Wednesday of every month. Decipherous Synonymous is the writing group that runs the open mics, but that place is run and owned. I can't remember her first name, but there are two organizations that there's art on the walls and everything that goes on there. Mm-hmm. A percentage of it goes back to the animals. She has a shelter and a rescue for horses, but the other lady takes the reservation dogs from the Indian res and brings back like half coyote pups. And
I forget
what it was called, but that's another thing. Sometimes our inspiration, they love art and they have a gallery. But
we're
juggling and maintaining the way we do this, why you have a radio show, and that's something that has immersed you in our population, whether it was conservative or not. Maybe you're a role model for those people.
You never know. Well, radio station's been here in Prescott 75 years.
Yeah.
I've been really lucky to be a part of it for going on 3 years now. I may not agree with the politics of the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys that we run.
But you're courteous.
But what I write is local news. And
yes,
if it comes out at 6 a.m., noon, and 5 o'clock on our radio station, and it's local news, you can guarantee it's the truth.
I hear you.
That's the biggest thing. We don't fake or politicize our news. It's news.
Life is too short.
Absolutely.
For that.
Absolutely.
And what I was talking about with the balance between, you know, what are they called? A landscaper. All summer long, they get plenty of business. What are they going to do when the snow comes? Then they get plows out. Then they become excavators, and they start plowing. They start backhoeing. And then when the season comes around, again, they landscape. So you've got your radio show as one venue, and then you've got your music as another. And it's wonderful.
It's a good life in Prescott. I've lived in L.A. I lived in Denver. I lived all over the country. I went through the whole I want to build my career thing. Coming to Prescott has been a real joy for me. It's a solid town.
It's a nice lady. You got a nice lady.
I've got a beautiful wife.
And she's a dancer, and she taught dancing for years.
Yeah. She's a ballroom dancer. She loved that. But Prescott's a wonderful area, and I want to thank the Raven and the other places, the Granite Mountain Brewery that puts your artwork up. The people that run these businesses depend on customers. And the fact that they take a chance on people like us is fabulous.
Right. They start to care. They don't know what they're going to get sometimes.
Exactly,
but they believe in the arts.
Exactly right.
Well, thank you again, Paul T. Morris. This is Danny Fisher and Paul T. Morris signing off on the Mile High Show.
Thank you, Danny.
Yep. See you again.
Every night I say a little prayer for the ones that serve over there, for the ones that really don't care what your politics are. They believe in the stripes, they believe in the stars. Well, Dan and Mike were from New York. They went to battle in Baghdad. They went overseas with their best friend Chris, and Chris didn't come back. Well, life goes on, the war hadn't stopped. Danny is a fireman and Michael is a cop. No matter where they go, no matter where they are, they see Chris and the stripes and Chris and the stars. So every night I say a little prayer for the ones that serve over there, for the ones that really don't care what your politics are. They believe in the stripes, they believe in the stars. Oh, and they carry the scars. Well, the land where we live, it really is great. The land where we fight's a long way away. What we call God, they call Allah.